Paul, like, tell us about this San Antonio crash in New Mexico, 1945. What happened?
Well, first of all, it happened in August of 1945, where two little boys that lived in San Antonio. Jose Padilla was 9, and Remy Baca was 7 at the time. And Jose's father had told them to go out to look for a cow that has calved. And what happened is, while they were doing what they were doing on their horses, there was a major thunderstorm. And, you know, this is very important. The details of this story is important because the weather in New Mexico, especially when there's thunder and lightning, has a lot to do with interference with these craft.
Okay.
Well, during this time period, this craft, they watched a craft that come in, a crash, and I think it's and Remy will tell you, leave a half-mile trench, stop, and the two boys went up to the craft about 200 yards away and saw that a piece of it was broken off. They saw the beings, which Remy will describe to you, weren't walking, they were kind of sliding back and forth, and as two small children are watching this in the dust and in this major storm, they're watching this situation, and it changed their entire life, because naturally they went back and Jose told his father, and his father called the sheriff, and within the next 3 days of the recovery, these two little boys were watching the military clean this up. Now, why this is important, because they were curious, so they on the Arroyo, they would look at the military clean this up. Why it's important is because the older boy, and he will tell you himself, and this is what's so important, he will tell you, while the craft was on the flatbed truck, actually went inside the craft and pulled off a piece. And this is the first time I've ever seen or heard of a story that where we have a piece of the inside of a craft. We've had pieces of the outside of craft, but this is a piece of the inside. It's on your website, George, because I put pictures there. And it's so important that you speak to the witnesses themselves. But it's been a year that I've been questioning them. It's been a year that I've followed up on the details. And it occurs to me that whoever was visiting that area, and this is the White Sands area, 10 miles from Ground Zero there, whoever is visiting that area was interested in our atomic bomb testing. And then I come to find out, because I released this story, I'm getting other witnesses coming forth that have said that not only were they part of the military, but they know of this story. So, see, this is the importance of bringing out a story like this, because other people that would not talk are now coming out and talking about this. I originally got this story from a man whose father was the pilot that said he flew out the bodies of the 1945 San Antonio crash. That's how I originally got the story. And then they gave me Remy Baca's, telephone number, and I talked to him for a solid year. I started this in May of 2009. So this is very important for people to understand. Roswell was not the only crash. That whole area was an area of interest to someone.
Absolutely. Now, why is it coming out now? I mean, this is 2 years before Roswell, Paula.
Yeah, why is it coming out? Because, first of all, these witnesses had reached out to other researchers who kind of blew it off.
Okay. And they've got to be what? They've got to be in their 70s. How old?
They're in their 70s. Okay. They're in their 70s, but they tried to talk to other people about this. And, you know, you have to really listen. You have to really piece this together. Remy will tell you, he'll tell you his family was not totally supportive. His wife did not believe in UFOs. She was Catholic. She's Catholic. Ginny is a wonderful lady. And they had a sighting. And after she had the sighting, she said it was okay for her husband to talk. Now, I have a chapter in my new book called The Burden of Truth. The burden that these witnesses carry, that they can't talk because either their families don't want them to, or they, you know, it's so bizarre that they know their life is going to change. I don't think people like making this up. This is not a made-up story. This is real because it will change their lives. And they feel a certain burden to tell the truth, and especially at this age.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to talk to both of them next hour because they even have descriptions of what the craft looks like, don't they?
Oh, yeah, because they walked up to it. Well, they're two little boys. I mean, they basically thought it was a plane crash. They probably thought it was a major accident. They walked right up to it. And it's very interesting. I hope you ask Remy about the feelings he had when he saw the beings. They heard a high, high screeching.
Well, if I don't, you will. You're going to be on with me.
Okay. They heard a high screeching that they thought the beings were hurt because they heard this very loud pitch sound. And Jose wanted to run in and help them, but Remy started to cry. He was so scared. But what was interesting, and I hope they tell you about this, since it was one of the first crashes, the cleanup crew didn't know how to handle it. They did not have hazmat suits on. They weren't worried about radiation. They'll tell you that some of the military men threw pieces in a trench.
Who was the cleanup crew? Military then, right?
Well, military men that were stationed right there at the base, there at the White Sands facility right there. And there, I had heard about a bar called the Owl Bar Cafe. I'd heard about this because I'd heard that Oppenheimer went there often in the paperclip scientist. It was the only watering hole around.
Sure.
And the fact that part of the cleanup crew would go into this watering hole where there was like a soda fountain and there was a bar and you could get food and everything. They would go in there and leave the craft on a flatbed truck. They would leave it there. And that's when Jose jumped on the truck and went in. I mean, they didn't have any protocols. I mean, after Roswell, probably between 45 and 47, there were other crashes, but protocols were put into place then where they were probably much more secure than they were in the 45 crash, because the 45 crash was a little bit haphazard. And this is what I've talked about with Remy for the longest time, because they were watching the guys, in the cleanup crew. In fact, it was one of the military people that approached Jose's father and asked if they could replace the gate because they were going to take out a balloon, a weather balloon. And again, we got a weather balloon story here. And it was too big to go through the gate, so they would have to replace the gate.
That's an amazing story.
Isn't that amazing? Because yeah. The thing is, the father said, of course, but he said, I don't understand why you have to take my gate apart.